Tape recorded message number TL93. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Will you take your Bibles and open with me to Psalm 22? I had to close rather hurriedly in the previous study, and I would like to take this up once again to add just a few details, some little further light upon this psalm. In Psalm 22, we have, first of all, the crucifixion, and then we have the resurrection, where he declares that I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. This shows the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then immediately following that, we have the kingdom. For that was God's program. And as I've told you many times before, we had the kingdom in the blade stage, in the ear stage, in the 33 years of which the book of Acts is the history. Now, for 19,000 years, everything has been in abeyance, and the real manifest kingdom will be realized when verse 27 is fulfilled, when all the ends of the world is the earth, and the ends of the earth means the people living in the most remote places, that these shall remember, which means that they will have something imprinted on their mind, just like my voice is now being imprinted on this tape. God will take their minds and he will speak to their minds, and they will be turned unto the Lord. That's the direction in which they're going to be turned. As to how they respond or what good this may do, we're not going to say. But at least they're going to be turned around toward the Lord. I can illustrate this by something that happened to me one time at the corner of State and Randolph Street, right there at the corner of Marshall Fields in Chicago. I was coming across the street and I saw a woman with a white cane, and it was quite evident that she was very much confused. She was blind. And I stepped up to her and I said, "Could I be of help to you?" And she said, "Oh my, yes." She said, I've got turned around. I want to go south on State Street." And so I just simply took her by the arm and turned her around and started her in the right direction. That was the best that I could do. I would gladly have restored her sight if I could, but that I could not do, but I could start her in the right direction. Now that's what the Lord does here. Even to the people living in the most remote places, the Eskimo at the North Pole, the Aboriginals in Australia, in the Philippines, in New Zealand, in Africa, wherever they may be, even the people living in the most remote places, they don't have to hear this by radio. Now, they don't have to get this through the newspapers or see it on television. God simply takes the mind that he gave them, the mind that he created it, and on that he writes certain facts, and the result is that they are turned in the direction of the Lord. That all the kindreds of the nations, the different kind of people that make up the nations, which cause so much trouble today, they shall worship before thee. Instead of demanding this right because that they're of this color, or demanding this right because that they're of this nationality, they're actually standing and they're worshiping before the Lord, because one of the problems of the nations are the different kinds of people that make them up. And wherever you go in the world, you're always going to find division among nations because they're made up of different kindreds or kind of people. The picture of the kingdom is here that these are worshiping before the Lord. And the reason is because the kingdom, that is the government, the sovereignty, is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Now, all they that be fat upon the earth, which is a rather peculiar statement, but just simply means all the great ones upon the earth shall eat and worship. And remember that these are great because of what they're given by the Lord. But they stand and they eat and they worship. And all they that go down to the dust, those who are put down, shall bow before him. For every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And none can keep alive his own soul in the day when God governs. For the rights of life and death, it rest won't be based upon the what a man wills or what a man desires. But all the rights of life and death will be in the hands of the Lord. And if any die, they will not die because of disease or sickness, for these things will be banished when God intervenes and rules the world. But they will die because that they've committed a capital sin against the Lord. No matter what you may think about it now, when God governs this earth, there is going to be capital punishment. Now, a seed shall serve him. The statement is that his seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. It'll be counted to the Lord for a sort of a circle. And they shall come and will declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. Here is his picture of his seed. And they're coming and declaring his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. And for all of those that are born in the time that God governs this earth, there will be those who were here when God did not govern. And let me tell you, we can tell them about the conditions that existed. We can tell them about all the disease and the death, the crime and iniquity that exist upon this world before God took over and before God governed. Now this brings us to Psalm 23, a psalm that is familiar to every one of us. And I believe with all my heart that when most men deal with the Bible, that they are inclined to over-expound. They're inclined to say too much. Maybe I'm guilty of this at times myself, but I believe that we're often just guilty of putting in our words when the Word of God is sufficient. Psalm 23, you're familiar with it, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I say the same thing when I say Jesus Christ is my Savior. I shall not want, because he is my Savior. I do not want for forgiveness. I don't beg for it or cry for it. I have forgiveness. The Lord is my Savior. Because he is my Savior, I'm saved. I'm not hungering for salvation. I'm not thirsting for it. I have it. The Lord is my Savior. Therefore, I am redeemed. He is my Redeemer. I'm not trying to purchase my redemption. I'm not trying to earn it in any way. These are all true just because the Jehovah is my Savior. So what the psalmist said when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," I say the same thing when I say, "The Lord is the Savior of this sinner. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Yes, that is true, for the pastor has been good. And certainly he has brought me forth into a large place. That is my witness and that is my testimony. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And even in the times of turmoil and tempest, always able to find that place of quietness and able to find that place of peace, because I know that all is well with my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Things that will be literally fulfilled and fulfilled to the letter in the kingdom of God. And yet they can be to a certain extent true of us now who trust in the Lord as our Savior. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and this is always before us, as long as we are in this present dispensation where sin reigns and death reigns and we're subject to disease, accidents, subject to all the deeds of evil men that could bring about the end of our life almost at any instant, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not standing in fear of evil. We pray that God deliver us from the fear of the evil. And the reason is because whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. If this life terminates, there's another to take its place. We fear no evil. He's with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know this matter of the rod and the staff of the shepherd. Indeed, they were very important things. You see, the rod was used on his enemies. This was a club. It was short, somewhere around about 18 inches in length. The shepherd liked to find one that had a ball, a piece of wood that had a ball on the end of it. And the smaller part would be a handle, shaped not as long as a baseball bat, but more the idea with a small handle. He would put a lever and a big ball in the end. He would put a leather thong through this. He would burn a hole through it, put a leather thong, and he would tie this to his belt. And I understand that he tied it with a peculiar knot so that It would not come untied till he pulled one string, and once he pulled this string, it would become untied. Now, this is what he used on the enemies of the sheep. The staff was used, of course, for the protection and the guidance of the sheep. And this was the Oriental shepherd. They had to be courageous men. They had to be fearless men. And if they were good shepherds, they'd go so far as to give their life for the sheep. Now, you see, the sheep were enemies of no one, but they had many, many enemies themselves, and the shepherd was their protector. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou settest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, which was something that the shepherd did as the sheep would come into the fold, or what we would call the corral at night. He would cause each one of them to pass between his legs, and he would examine them. And if they had got scratched in any way or torn during the day, he would take his horn of oil and put oil upon that wound. With the result, the psalmist says, my cup runneth over. And declare, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I know that people take this house of the Lord and make it to be heaven. It is not heaven. This was David's hope. This was David's expectation. And this is the very same thing as when the Lord said to the evil men of his day, you have made my house a den of thieves. And David knew that in his future, he knew that it was a time to come when he would be king over Israel. His expectation was to be raised from the dead and to serve as a faithful king. And he expected to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that house is the temple, which will be the center of all government in the day when David reigns again over the people of Israel. Now, that's Psalm 23. We go on to Psalm 24. David says, the earth is the Lord's, and it is, and the fullness thereof. All that fills it belongs to the Lord. Everything is his. We can't give him anything. All the silver is his. So what are we doing when we bring him silver or gold? All the precious stones are his. Everything about it. The earth is the Lord's. It's his. He created it. And in the day when God created the heavens and the earth, the heavens were no better than the earth. The earth was no better than the heavens. They were both the perfect works of a perfect workman, who could not do anything or create anything that was less than perfect. We know that the earth has suffered. It has suffered terribly, but God is going to redeem it. And Christ not only died for my sins and your sins, Jesus Christ died for this world, and the earth is the Lord's. It's been redeemed. It groans now. It travails in sorrow now, but the earth is the Lord's, and all that fills it, the world and they that dwell therein. He is the owner, and there is none that do not belong to him. He has jurisdiction, every one of them. And the time will come when he'll take to himself his great power. He'll take to himself his great authority, and he'll begin his rule. Now, in verse 2 it says, he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. This may have some reference to the fact that that the landmass itself is established upon the seas, established upon the floods. But he asked the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Here is a man who just as already said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But now he says, who will stand in the hill of the Lord? Who will ascend in the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Then he declares, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, the man who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, which is emptiness, nor sworn deceitfully, he will still receive the blessing of the Lord, the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation, the circle of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Now he declares, lift up your heads, O ye gates. The gates were the authorities. And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Why, it's Jehovah, strong and mighty. Jehovah, who is mighty in battle. He declares again, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting, that is, these perpetual doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He asked again the question, who is this King of glory? And declares, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. We continue into Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. A man's soul is himself. And when we look for help, when we look for strength, when we look for peace, we lift up our eyes to the Lord. He says, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. In the days under the law, this was a proper prayer. This is the way that God was working. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause, and that's the way it's going to be. None who wait on him will ever be ashamed. But those that transgress without cause, they will be ashamed. He prays, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Now, most people want to be led, but they don't want to be led in the truth. They pray to the Lord for leadership in service and leadership in business ventures and leadership in their journeys. But they ever pray, lead me in thy truth, and then set themselves on the path that will bring them into it? And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. A beautiful phrase, the God of my salvation. I often have to stop here and ask the people, does your salvation just have a church? Is it the church of your salvation? The minister of your salvation? The ceremony that you relate to your salvation? Does your salvation have a God, the God of my salvation? On thee do I wait all the day. He declares, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Now he declares, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. You know, if there was no other passage in the Word of God that declared it, this passage would be enough for the believer. For the unbeliever, if you'd put it on 1,000 billboards and stretch them out 1 mile apart and make him walk over the entire thing, that wouldn't be enough. He'd want 1,001. But this is enough for us. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Now when we get to Psalm 64, we're going to come upon how the Lord's going to do this. You'll remember it in verse 7 where it says, God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly shall they be wounded. Now, since the Lord is good and upright, he will teach sinners in the way. Now, this very statement here has given a great deal of trouble to expositors. Even the highly respected Dr. Rotherham, whom I like to read after and follow, he declares that this is just not right. It just couldn't be that God's going to teach sinners in the way. But this is exactly the way that it's going to be. The time is going to come when God is going to act, and act in regard to every man upon this earth, and pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh, when Christ is going to be manifested, when God's going to speak from heaven, and men are going to have something imprinted upon their minds that cannot be erased. Now, the word here for teach is a dramatic word, and it has to do with that kind of knowledge which is just simply forced upon men, that kind of knowledge which you just simply get, shall we say, by being slapped in the face with it. Has to use a popular and common expression. And therefore, the time is going to come when to every sinner God is going to say, this is the way. And he's going to show sinners. That's why it is that men will make their own tongues fall upon themselves. That's why it is that the foolishness of the sinner is going to become obvious, not only to himself, to every man. But then it goes right on to say, the meek will he guide in judgment. Now, the difference is between the sinners and the meek. The meek are the submissive. You know, oftentimes when a man is smacked right in the face with the truth, he doesn't submit, he doesn't yield. But in view of this, that those that do submit and those that do yield, then they are guided in judgment. This is a further process. And then the next process of teach, it means that it's more protracted. That's a different word. We have one word, Hebrew word for teach in verse 8, another word for teach in verse 9. These are two different words. And so what God does for the sinner, if they don't respond to it, they can be eliminated. If they do respond to it, then he can guide them in judgment. And if they do respond to it and submit and yield, then he will take, and by more protracted teaching over a long period of time, he will teach them his way. Now, this is going to be done when God assumes sovereignty. This is going to be done when God injects himself in the affairs of men and deals with men upon the earth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant, his testimonies. The paths of the Lord are mercy. The paths of the Lord are truth. So a man in seeking the truth is trying to find the path of the Lord. A man in seeking the truth, in believing that truth, is trying to walk in that path. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and to such as keep his covenant, his agreement, his testimonies. That was the truth at that time. God's agreement with us is that if we believe, we'll be saved. We're going to keep that covenant, that agreement, and we're going to expect him to do his part, which he will. In verse 11, it says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Here is a man who can find no reason at all in himself to ask for forgiveness. He didn't say, "Lord, I'm not always as bad as I am sometimes. I don't always do wrong." He didn't make any plea like that. But he found his reason for asking forgiveness in the character, the name of the Lord, and declared his iniquity is great. Then he says, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Stands in awe of the Lord." Well, any man that stands in awe of the Lord, that stands in due respect of the Lord, him will he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed, his very offspring, will enjoy a portion in the earth. For the earth is the destiny of men. And this is the promise, and this promise is going to be fulfilled. And the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You'll remember in the 13th of Matthew, where the Lord said to his disciples, "It's given to you to know the secret of the kingdom. To those on the outside, it's not given. I speak to them in parables." But here he speaks of the one who fears the Lord, and the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show him his covenant. The covenant here has to do with his purposes, his agreements, and so on. Now David declares, "Mine eyes forever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and I am afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait upon thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." What we have in this psalm is a king beset with problems, problems too great for him to solve, realizing his own weaknesses and his own failures, and thus saying the very thing that God would have him to say, praying the very prayers that God would have him to pray, and this reveals the character of the Lord. All most people can think about is the sins of David, but this reveals the character of the Lord. Now David speaks once again, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For your loving kindness, your very grace is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." It wasn't just anything at all that David picked up, a little from the heathen, a little from the this and a little from that, a little he thought himself. He says, "I've walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, these empty persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers, those who just simply make a difference just because that they want to tear down what has already been built up. I have hated that congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. A man declaring his purpose, a man declaring his determination to walk with, to serve, and stay in the paths of the Lord. He declares in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And if the Lord is our light and the Lord is our salvation, then whom shall I fear? Why, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I think again of that Psalm 64, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Then David says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Now David's life did not come to a total end. It was not total extinction or annihilation when he died. He will yet dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. He will behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he says, in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know, that's a beautiful thing there. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And oh, how many times I could say things like this to the Lord, and how many times have I said things like this to the Lord. Lord, you have said, to as many as receive thee, to them you give the right to become the children of God. And I answered and said, Lord, I do receive you, and I claim my right to be called thy child, and I claim my right to call thee my Father. Lord, when you said that you so loved the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, my heart said back unto thee, I will believe. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, when you have said, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy that you would save us, my heart answered, Lord, I will not offer to thee works of righteousness for my salvation. I will work because I am saved, not work in order to be saved. Oh, how many times can we answer back to the Lord when he says, seek my face, and the heart answers and says, I will seek thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He prays, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. There's that beautiful phrase again, O God of my salvation. He declares, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemy. That's this case of being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, and wanting this to be so because enemies are ever watching to see us stumble and to trip us up. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He declares, I had fainted. Yes, I would have fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, all of these men who are working and striving so to bring about a paradise upon the earth and believe that this can be done by the spending of money or by political changes, they don't know what they're talking about. We wait upon the Lord. He is fulfilling his purpose. We're seeking to serve him in harmony with it. And as we wait upon the Lord, yes, we can be of courage. He strengthens the heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We continue in Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked, and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed, his designated ones. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. A most appropriate prayer and most appropriate sentiments for a man who is trying to rule a people, govern a people as a supreme monarch, and do this for the glory of God. In Psalm 29 it reads, Bring as due unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory, attribute to him glory, and attribute to him power, strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That holiness is separation. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Now notice, it starts here with statements about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. All God has to do is to speak. That's all. He doesn't have to send his son from heaven. He doesn't have to send an army of angels with his two-edged sword. He can even speak peace to the world. Let's notice now what it says about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. It's just hovering over the heads of all the peoples. Water seen as the peoples. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It speaks. It can reach the brain of every man living upon this earth without exception. I don't care how ignorant, how uneducated, how untrained. I don't care if that man is insane or not. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It will speak his government. It will speak his sovereignty. And men will know that they're under divine government. In verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. That's the buffalo. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. That's the female deer is a hind. Discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yes, even when iniquity comes in like a flood, the Lord can stop it. The Lord sitteth king forever. He sits not only as a king, but he reigns as a king, ever flowing. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. This is all to be the result of the voice of the Lord in that day, but as we're told in another psalm, the Lord shall speak peace to the nations. And now to Psalm 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from Sheol, not the grave, but you brought up me from Sheol. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never, that is, not forever, not in perpetuity, be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. David says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And the answer is no. Dead men do not praise the Lord. When they go down the pit, their life of service and praise is over. So he prays, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, O Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thee thanks in perpetuity, forever and ever, unto thee forever. That's the word olam. It just means ever flowing. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense, and save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. The word rock is a very prominent figure of speech all through the Bible, and it is certainly one that we have not completely laid hold of and do not yet fully understand. But we know you can build upon a rock. We know that a rock is solid, it's not soft. And when he speaks of the Lord being his rock and fortress, it has to do with this place of refuge, this secure place. In verse 4, he says, pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Privily is really secretly. In verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Our Lord prayed this prayer from the Psalms. Stephen prayed this prayer from the Psalms, into thine hand I commit my spirit. And that's a good way to go, and it's a good sentiment. And I'd be willing to say that myself when the time comes, if it ever comes, the kingdom does not intervene, that I should be called upon to face the fact of death. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now, verse 6, for thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I don't want to miss that. The Lord God of truth. Truth is important to God. It's not important to men today. Service is everything. The numbers are everything. What you do is everything. Truth is not important, but he is the God of truth. He declares, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. These people looking for freedom today. David enjoyed this. His feet were set in a very large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I am a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. while they took counsel against me and devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. A beautiful sentiment. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be shamed, and let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence, the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That's a beautiful sentiment that we can close this study with. Be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And that's the end of the study. As I said before, I do not intend to try to over-expound these, just simply to review them, as I want you to become familiar with them. Till we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.